Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's what morality is. It is the question of how am I giving glory to God so that I can be with God who is glory. I can share with Him in His glory. So we're going to continue that discussion today. And we're going to continue it by looking at the three parts of morality. I will confess to you, I have been rereading my C.S. Lewis. I don't know what reading of Mere Christianity I am on, but I always appreciate it and gain some insight. So I will start with a C.S. Lewis quote this morning. I'll try not to give just over and over quotes from C.S. Lewis, though. Of morality, he said, or wrote, morality then seems to be concerned with three things. Firstly, with fair play and harmony between individuals. Secondly, with what may be called the tidying up or harmonizing the things inside each individual. Thirdly, with the general purpose of human life as a whole, what man was made for, what course the whole fleet ought to be on, what tune the conductor of the band wants it to play. Now, that's a mouthful. But to help simplify this, Mr. Lewis used an illustration that I'll try to use this morning. And has used an illustration of a fleet of ships. I know what you're thinking. Wow, Josh, your PowerPoint game is really improving all the time. I've already heard it from the 9 o'clock assembly, so trust me, you're not going to say anything new here. I know your kids could do better than this. So just let that be a given, and let's not miss the point of the lesson, okay? Make me feel a little bit better. At least you're focusing on what's really important here. Again, in summarizing, what Mr. Lewis is saying about morality is that morality is about, first, you have a fleet of ship, and the ships don't need to run into each other. That is, that there's harmony between individuals. Second, that there's this harmony within somebody. That is, a ship is seaworthy. And then finally, that these ships are all going to the same place. That they're on course for the correct destination. That's what Mr. Lewis is saying morality is all about. Now, Mr. Lewis would go on to say, and I think correctly so, that our world, when it thinks of morality, generally only thinks of the first thing. That is, morality is us not interfering with each other or harming each other. That the fleet of ships doesn't run into each other. That's what morality is all about. And again, I think he's right. I think when our world thinks of morality, this is by and large the only thing it thinks of. And so governments, any civil body, what they are generally doing is making rules, making regulations to prevent people from doing harm to each other or to prevent the ships from colliding. And that's why we're in the state we're in. Because there's very little thought to the destination. And certainly very little thought into what each individual ship is like. Or what we as individuals are like. What you and I need to be doing is, yes, we ought to pay attention to this first part. We certainly ought to make sure that we're in harmony with other individuals, that we're not colliding into each other, doing harm to each other. We must also focus on what's within. If you had a fleet of ship or a convoy of ships, and perhaps they're in tight formation, again, I know nothing about ships, but I can imagine that, yes, while mechanical failures will happen time to time, even on the best-kept ships. What if you had a ship, though, that the captain and the crew gave no thought to the ship? They never did any kind of safety check. They never did any kind of maintenance. They just said, well, the ship's always floated. It's going to float today. And so what if that ship has a problem with the rudder? And you can no longer steer? Well, collision's probably going to happen. There's probably going to be conflict between that ship and the other ships. Or what if the engine fails? Well, if there's a ship close behind, guess what? There's going to be problems. You see, if we think of first morality being what is going on within, how seaworthy am I, that's going to take care of most of the running into each other. You, of course, remember what our Lord said in Matthew, the 15th chapter. In that context of rebuking the Pharisees for their being consumed with what's on the outside of the cup. And Jesus says, you need to look and to cleanse the inside of the cup. And why is this so very important? For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. All these external actions that do in fact harm others, Jesus says, they all came from within. And his point to those who are listening was, if you'll start to take care of what's within, then that's going to be manifest in the actions without. So if you're making sure the ship is seaworthy, then you don't have to worry so much about that ship running into other ships. Or if I'm making sure I am a moral person, I don't have to worry so much about is my morality or lack thereof doing harm to other people. But even more important than that, because, well, this is ultimately what's going to determine what's within, is the final point. And that is, are the ships all headed to the correct destination? Well, what is that destination? Well, many of us would say heaven. But in saying that, what we're really saying is that the final destination is God. Because heaven is where God is. We can in fact say that the destination is glory. Because glory is where God is. Or we could even say that the final destination is holiness. Because again, holy is who God is. That's the destination. That's where we're going. Now, the one thing we also have to keep in mind here, though, is when we're talking about God being our destination, we're also saying He's the course. Or you could say He's the one who has to set the course. He's the only one who knows how to reach that destination. And that makes all the difference. Do we wonder why our world is in such a mess? Well, consider what Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, you are dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. What were we following? Well, we were following a course, but it was the course of this world. It was the course determined by the prince of the power of the air, that is, Satan himself. And by the way, what's so deceptive here is that sometimes it seems like we're on the right course. Again, just think of how our world terms morality and our world's focus on don't do harm to others. Well, guess what? That sounds good. That makes sense. If we're thinking of, okay, I don't want to do any harm to someone else, that makes it seem like we're on the right course. But of course, we're being deceived. Because we're not changing who we are, we're only legislating or punishing bad actions and giving no thought to the people that we are. Why are we in such a mess? Because we're on the wrong course. And so, of course, the words of Jeremiah make more sense where in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah professed, "I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps." Or in the words of the psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 133, "Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me." If the destination is God, then He is the only one who can plot the course to reach it. Now, hopefully all that makes sense. Let's look at a couple of examples to see how I think this really can impact us in our thinking and our lives as we seek to reach heaven. We seek to reach God Himself. What about sexual immorality? Let's begin by noting once more our world's concept of morality. And our world's singular focus on this first principle: don't do harm to each other. Don't have ships colliding. There's a lot of thought and discussion about those things, and rightfully so. In the last few years, this has been the forefront of the news with the Me Too movement, drawing attention to issues like rape, sexual harassment. All, again, don't do harm to each other. Even within our society, things like cheating would be frowned upon, although quickly forgotten. But the reason why cheating is frowned upon is because harm has now befallen a spouse or a partner. So the moral wrong here is someone was hurt. And again, certainly we ought to consider this when thinking of issues of sexual immorality, the harm that is done to other people. But we also recognize in our society that everything else is fair game. Everything else. Pornography, the hookup culture of our day, homosexuality, everything else is fair game so long as you don't harm someone else. And again, we wonder, how are we in the state that we're in? How ludicrous is it that each person is being told, "You can have any number of vile thoughts you want. Consume any amount of vile material you want. Just don't harm somebody else." So what if, in any discussion of sexual immorality, we started with the destination? And what is the destination? Well, the destination is God. And what do you and I know about God? God is faithful. God is absolutely faithful. Again, Exodus 34 and verse 6, when God declared Himself to Moses, and what did He say? "I am abounding in loving kindness." That is covenant faithfulness. And throughout the Old Testament, God's lament to His people was, "I have been a faithful husband to you. Why have you been unfaithful to me?" Or we think of passages from the New Testament. Passages like Hebrews 10 and verse 23. "Let us then hold fast the assurance of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." And any number of passages in the New Testament, whether it be Ephesians 5, or other places where Christ's relationship to His people, He's our husband, He is faithful to us. This is who God is. That's the destination, God Himself, God who is faithful. Now think about how Christian morality in this area is sometimes termed. Simply put, one man, one woman for a lifetime. And think of how that notion has been ridiculed in our world. But consider this. Consider this. If God is the destination, and God is faithful, then what is it that leads to God? Absolute faithfulness. That's the course that leads to God. It's the only course that can lead to God. Now, don't misunderstand me. That's not to say that if I've been tempted and even stumbled in this area, I can't be forgiven. But no, we're talking about what we are becoming inside. What God wants to be true in our lives, and what He wants to be true in our lives, is absolute faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 6, and I'm actually going to go back and start reading in verse 12, a little bit earlier in the passage than what's on the board. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 12, Paul begins by using, I believe, what was a phrase, a catchphrase that had perhaps become popular in Corinth. He's going to use it to show them that, no, this can't be true. So he says, beginning in verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but He will also raise us up through His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Do you see what the apostle is saying throughout that passage? We belong to the Lord. Our bodies belong to the Lord. Our Lord, who raised Jesus up by His power, is going to raise our bodies up. Our bodies are where His Spirit dwells. It all goes back to this idea of our purpose is to be with God. That's the destination. What's the course that leads to the destination? Flee immorality. Have nothing to do with it. Because that all takes away from faithfulness. That's why these are our principles. That's why marriage is held up in honor. That's why, yes, we preach abstinence. Yes, we preach forgiveness. But yes, we're trying to instill in every one of us this principle of faithfulness. Because this is who God is. And He is leading us to Him. One other example. What about anger? And again, consider how our world treats this. Our world is filled with anger. Every day in the news are just stories that are meant to do one thing, instill anger in you. Have righteous indignation about the state of affairs in our world and blame this person or blame this group. Be angry. That's our world. And then the rest of the news is filled with what happens when people take that anger and they harm someone else. And we wonder, well, how did we get there? Again, the one thing that's wrong is to do harm to someone. But yet everything in our world is all about ginning up anger in people. And then it breaks forth. Well, what if, again, we start with the destination? And the destination is God. And what do we know of Him? Well, according to 1 John 4 and verse 8, God is love. That's who He is. Just as He was faithful, He is love. Therefore, what's the one course that leads me to God? Turn over to 1 John chapter 4 and read with me verses 7 through 12. Here John writes, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, so we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us." You note there in verse 12, we have an echo back to Exodus 33 and 34. Moses requests to see God's glory. God says to Moses, "No man may see my face and live." But here, John says, when we abide in love, He abides in us. Or to make it fit the analogy we're using today, when we abide in love, we're on the right course. We're heading exactly where we're supposed to be heading. We're heading to God Himself. Because God is love. Now, again, where we kind of get in trouble in our world is we get consumed with the idea that my anger is righteous anger. I mean, I have a right to be upset over these things. And people that are wrong, they need to be punished or to be corrected in that wrong. And then we need to consider things that our Lord says, Matthew 5, verse 44, love your enemies. Pray for those who spitefully abuse you. Or the words of Paul in Romans 12, where we are told to not take vengeance into our own hands, that vengeance is mine, God says, I will repay. And perhaps in all of this, what we're seeing is God knew all along you and I would not do a very good job of issuing vengeance. We would not do a very good job of being just. So He says, you focus on love, leave the rest to me. You focus on being who I am, that is love, I'll take care of the rest. And so just consider the results on any moral issue if we start first with the destination. If we consider first who God is, and because we're considering who He is, He's setting the course, He is making us who we're supposed to be. And guess what? We're not going to collide. We're not going to run into each other, do harm to each other. The first principle is then taken care of because we were set on the right course. We're becoming the people that God wants us to be. Our destination is glory. And God says, I can transform you into glory. Again, brethren, that's what morality is all about. Morality is about giving glory to God. Morality is all about reaching the glory of God. It may be that what we've discussed today has made you think. Maybe you're thinking about the course you've been on. Maybe, like all of us at some point, we understand, I was on the course directed by this world and not the course that leads to God. The hope that we have is His grace, and that through faith and repentance and baptism, you'll be forgiven, made a child of God, and set on the right course. It may be that there's even one here today who wants to be on that course. And when we're done today, see one of us, speak to one of us, let us help you. Or maybe you're a Christian and yet you see again, I've not been on the right course. Let us pray with you. Let us help each other stay true on our course to reach God and His glory. This time, Brother Trey Matthews is going to lead us in prayer. And following that prayer, I believe, is it Jared Hawkinsmith? Is that our singing? Nope. Hunter Morse. Thank you. All right. So Trey will lead us in prayer, and then Hunter Morse will have our songs this morning.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for allowing us to come here and worship you. Dear Lord, as we go out into the rest of the week, please help us to give the glory to you in everything we do and edify your name. And please help us to be encouragement to everyone around us. Thank you so much for everything that you do for us each and every day, dear Lord. We know that without you, we would have none. Please forgive us of our sins and please help us to continue to praise you each and every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. We'll begin this morning with the Glory Land Way, number 574. We'll sing all three verses. Do me,
I'm in the way, the bright shining way, I'm in the glory land, glory land way, spelling the word. I'm in the glory land.
as the deer. Domi
as the deer pants for the heart, so my soul longs after you.
Finish this morning with "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder," and I'd ask that you stand for this last song. Following this song, you will be dismissed.
Oh, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning grace is come upon men, when the Savior is gathered on the ever shore, and the world is all a wonder, I'll be there. When the world is all a wonder, I'll be there. When the world is all a wonder, I'll be there. When the world is all a wonder, when the world is all a wonder, I'll be there. When the chosen ones are gathered through their home beyond the skies, and the world is all a yonder, I'll be there. When the world is all a yonder, when the world is all a yonder, when the world is all a yonder. Let us sleep before the master on the dawn's setting sun.